A film produced by KQED in San Francisco attempts to portray an element of the U.S. criminal justice system not well documented, the parole system. It profiles the case of Marvin Mutch, who was 18 years old when in 1975 he was sent to prison for the murder of a 13-year-old girl found dead in a creek. He was sentenced to 7 years to life with the possibility of parole, but Marvin Mutch was released only last year, having spent well over two-thirds of his life in prison. The key evidence against Marvin was circumstantial, essentially amounting to whether his clothes were damp near the time of the murder. Those details were given to police during a fateful phone call by Marvin's sister Valerie, who thought she was identifying him as merely a witness to the case. Instead, her tip turned Marvin into the main suspect.
That phone call essentially put an end to whatever family I had. If I had just not made the phone call, then none of it would have happened, but I did. And he's the one who paid the price for it.
Marvin Mutch's case is the subject of the latest series from KQED's podcast Queued Up and an accompanying documentary, both called The Trials of Marvin Mutch. KQED criminal justice reporter Alex Emsley spent months working on the story.
The span of this man's adult lifetime spent in prison was really unique in that we could look at all of these different ways that California and really the nation conceived of the criminal justice system and ideas of justice and guilt and innocence over these four decades of time.
And then after many, many decades, just how disorienting interacting in the real world as we know it turns out to be. Here's Marvin himself.
How many eggs are there? This is unreal. In prison, they cook eggs. They break the yolks. So they break them and they make this hard rubber disc that's your egg.
What's he explaining there?
I think it gives us a little bit of a snapshot into just all of the little things and how they pile up. And when someone is suddenly again exposed to these things that have been simplified over a long period of time, that level of amazement. In this case, Marvin is really excited that he can get eggs with a runny yolk, something that he hadn't had access to in many, many years.
The sentence was what?
7 years to life. It was an indeterminate sentence.
Is it important for us to believe that Marvin is innocent, or is it important for us to believe that Marvin might in fact be guilty?
I know that we can't definitively say either way. So that is something that I think is sort of up for each person who watches it to kind of come to their own conclusion and ask the question of, also how much it necessarily matters. And I want to explain that a little bit. He was sentenced to a term of at least 7 years and then a possibility of parole and release based on not the heinousness of that original crime, the brutality of this murder, but based on whether he had shown rehabilitation and was likely to commit another crime. Lifer inmates, those who have been sentenced to up to life terms, and those who have spent a long time, many years in prison, have a much lower likelihood of ever reoffending than even the general population outside of prison. So according to the system, it doesn't necessarily matter by the time he was up for parole and continued to be denied for about three decades.
I went to 22 board hearings, and I came to realize that there really is no formula. There is no formula. Sort of like the weather, certain things happen at a certain time. You have the right governor in place, and you have the right attorney with you, or you have the right district attorney showing up. Any of these components not being present, then it doesn't happen.
Do you believe that Marvin's insistence upon his innocence was the thing that kept him in prison?
It's certainly possible. And at points, there are, statements on the record in transcripts of parole hearings that very clearly indicate that. But it's not, it's a little bit nuanced. It's a little bit complicated. Marvin Mutch did not maintain his own innocence throughout his entire lifetime. After several years in prison and several denials at the parole board, telling him basically that he had to accept responsibility for this crime before he would ever have a chance of getting out, he says that he came up with a story, a way to try to accept responsibility, to basically say that he did this crime or at least played a role in the murder of Cassie Riley. Law enforcement officials in Alameda County investigated his story and found it to be physically impossible, according to the evidence in the case. So it was never really believed, but it caused him a major credibility problem. When more evidence then came out in the case decades later, Marvin feels like it shows that he's likely innocent of this crime. And he went back to asserting that in front of the parole board and then heard the same thing again, that his denial of the crime was not plausible. And until he accepted responsibility for it, it was a impediment to him ever being seriously considered for parole.
Why was he released?
Well, he was granted parole, actually for the second time in recent history, and it was not reversed by the governor. California is one of three U.S. states that allows the governor to review and change decisions of the parole board in murder cases. And Marvin had been granted parole also in 2006, but that decision was reversed by Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. This time, it went through, and after 41 years, he was released.
Does the system have any basis for making that judgment? I mean, do they? It just feels so completely arbitrary.
It's discretionary. A longtime prisoner's attorney who attempted in 2010 to get Marvin Mutch found suitable for release at the parole board described the parole process in California as one of the most lawless places he can imagine. They're not open to the public, and there is a perception that the decisions are very arbitrary. But I do have to say that there is all of these different factors that they look at add up to a likelihood to reoffend or a legitimate rehabilitation. And it's especially, I think, difficult for them to make that consideration without the criteria of, do they understand why they committed the crime in the first place? And do they show, you know, appropriate remorse for that? A claim of innocence negates all of those factors.
Alex Emsley, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Alex Emsley is a criminal justice reporter for KQED in San Francisco.